won't be until tomorrow that Donald Trump actually has to face the real music for his repeated violations of the gag order against him. However, that hasn't stopped Judge Juan Merchan from actually going ahead and instituting some form of punishment for Trump's repeated attacks on the witnesses against him. What happened late last week was that the prosecutors informed the judge that we are not going to let the defense know who our witnesses are going, like who our first three witnesses are going to be. They're not going to know who is going to be called to that stand once this thing gets underway. And the judge responded and says, I can't fault them for that. And the judge refuses to force the prosecution to let the defense know who the witnesses are going to be because, of course, he's afraid that Donald Trump's going to go out there, violate the gag order again, and intimidate these witnesses. So here's the thing. In a criminal trial, even in civil trials, really, when you're going to call a witness, you typically have to let the other side know who the next witness is going to be so that they can sit there and be fully prepared for it. Now, this doesn't mean that the, you know, other side is going to frantically go through that night and, you know, finally put their research together. No, they already have their research together. They already know how they're going to approach that witness. They just need to know, okay, this is the one coming up. I've got all my paperwork in order. If there's any last minute things I want to add, I will do that too. Now the defense, due to Donald Trump's behavior, will not have that advantage. They're going to go into that evening knowing that a witness is going to be called tomorrow, whatever day this actually starts, and they're not going to know who it is. Could it be Stormy Daniels herself? Could it be Michael Cohen? Could it be other executives at the Trump Organization? Who the hell knows? And they won't know either. They will, in fact, be caught off guard. They will not be able to come up with any additional last-minute kind of questions or last-minute thing they want to add in there. They are losing a massive, massive piece of their defense, the practice of preparation, because of Trump's behavior. And just in case anybody's wondering, yes, the judge is allowed to do this. The judge is allowed to say you do not have to disclose the witnesses due to the potential of threats from the defendant himself. The reason the judge is allowed to do this is, of course, because in trial, the defense is also going to get to call their own witnesses. So if there are things that they wanted to ask those witnesses that they didn't have the extra time to prep for, they can do that when they call the witnesses. So when Trump eventually appeals the ruling in this case, which he's going to do if he loses, they're not going to be able to argue like, well, we didn't know who the witnesses were. Yes, it does hamstring you on the first go round, but you will have the opportunity. You can call them back when it's your turn, and you can finally ask the questions after you've had more prep time. So that argument upon appeal is not going to work, but it will put them at a significant disadvantage once it gets to the point where we're calling witnesses. And again, this is 100% because of Trump's behavior, because his lawyers are doing absolutely nothing to rein him in. And now they're going to be the ones paying the price for it. New evidence against Matt Gaetz has been revealed by ABC News, and this evidence comes from a sworn affidavit from one of the witnesses that has talked to the House Ethics Committee that, of course, is conducting an investigation into Matt Gaetz's behavior. Now, according to this witness, again, in a sworn affidavit, which is under oath, so under penalty of perjury, this witness says that she witnessed in the year 2017, while Gaetz was a sitting lawmaker, he attended a party in Florida filled with drugs and underage girls, specifically the 17-year-old girl that Matt Gaetz allegedly had relations with. Let me read you this from ABC News. According to a sworn written statement that has been obtained by the Ethics Committee, a woman says that in summer of 2017, when she was 20 years old, she attended a party in Florida that Gaetz also attended, which featured alcohol and drugs, including cocaine and MDMA, sources familiar with the committee's work told ABC News. In the sworn statement, which has not been previously reported, the woman said that in addition to Gates, the party was attended by the then minor who was at the center of a years-long Justice Department investigation into accusations that the Florida congressman had sex with her when she was 17. Sources said the woman who made the statement said she saw the then minor naked at the party, which was also attended by adult men other than Gates, and that at the party there allegedly were bedrooms that were made available for sexual activities. So a couple of things to just make sure we cover all the bases here. This woman, according to what we know, is not saying that Matt Gaetz did in fact have relations with this woman at the party. She did not say that Matt Gaetz showed up to the party with the woman. She did not say that Matt Gaetz engaged in drug use at the party. So I want to make that crystal clear. Based on what we know, she has not said these things did happen. She says in the summer of 2017 at a party, Matt Gaetz was there and the woman was there and there were some drugs there. Okay? So you place Matt Gaetz in a position where these other things are happening, right? That's not good, but it's not illegal. So before anybody thinks that this is the smoking gun, we got Matt Gaetz. No. Okay. Temper your expectations a little bit. I don't want anybody to think that Matt Gaetz definitely did these things based on this new sworn statement. All we have is Matt Gaetz at a party where bad things were happening. We do not have a witness saying Matt Gaetz did these bad things. So that is, of course, what the ethics committee is trying to determine. Yeah, you were there. You could have just been there, popped in, popped out, left. No big deal, right? Or you could have been there. You could have been partaking in some of the illicit drugs, and you could have been in one of the back bedrooms with a young girl. We have to determine whether or not you did based on what people may or may not have seen and if there's any evidence to suggest that. That is a big task, okay? This is major. We also, of course, have testimony from Joel Greenberg. We have Joel Greenberg's lawyer. We have other witnesses. The young woman herself is supposed to talk to these individuals, so that is going to provide more information. But as I always say when talking about this story, the big question is, will this impact Matt Gaetz's reelection bid? The Florida primary, he's got a ways to go before that happens. So if we get a final report from the committee that can link Matt Gaetz to this disgusting behavior, maybe we can get him out in the primary. Because if you can't get him out in the primary, it really doesn't matter what's going to come out in that report at that point, because this area will still vote for him. I mean, it reminds me a lot of, you know, Roy Moore versus Doug Jones for that Senate seat in Alabama. All that horrible, horrible, horrible stuff came out about Roy Moore, decades of disgusting behavior, and he still only lost by what, like half a point? Yeah, he lost, but he only lost by half a point. You still had like half the state that were like, ah, we're fine with that. This area, which, you know, is a stone's throw away from Alabama, they're going to do the same thing. So maybe Gaetz could lose if this report confirms some of the more disgusting accusations against him, but I'm betting that it won't. So unless you get this out before the primary, Gaetz is still going to have that seat no matter what. On Friday morning, before heading into that courtroom in Manhattan, Donald Trump, as usual, took a few moments to speak to the press, and he gave them a lie-filled rant about pretty much everything that was on his little deranged mind. First and foremost, he, of course, demanded that the gag order be lifted against him. He claimed that President Biden was directing these prosecutions of him, even though Biden has no jurisdiction over these state charges. He also said that the judge has the worst conflict of interest he's ever seen in a judge before. But it was really his claims about the gag order that made headlines. Here's what Trump said about the gag order. The gag order has to come off. People are allowed to speak about me, but I have a gag order? I should be allowed to speak. They've taken away my constitutional rights to speak. I have a lot to say to you, and I'm not allowed to say it, and I'm the only one. Everyone else can say whatever they want about me. They can say anything they want. They can continue to make up lies and everything else. They lie. They're real scum. So why am I gagged? I'm only telling the truth. They're not telling the truth. The judge has to take off this gag order. It's very, very unfair. My constitutional rights have been taken away. Whew. That's the big, strong man that Republicans want to make the president again, right? They think he is like the alpha of all alpha. And here he is like, it's not fair. I didn't have a gag order. Nobody else has to have a gag order. He's a child. He is a petulant, whiny child. And people on the right look at him and they're like, that's the epitome of what a man should be. That's a man's man right there. He's basically in tears, whining about a gag order and clearly not understanding what constitutional rights actually entail. But it's the part where he said, like, I'm the only one telling the truth. Everyone else is lying. I'm telling the truth. No, actually, you're not. You're like, you've literally been lying while violating the gag order. Like, you're actually violating the gag order by spreading lies. You're spreading lies about the judge's daughter. You're spreading lies about the judge's wife. You're spreading lies about Michael Cohen and Stormy Daniels and Mark Pomerantz. You're doing nothing but lying about these people who are going, with the exception of the daughter and the wife, to show up in court as witnesses. You're attempting to taint these people's reputation in front of the jury, which is why you have the gag order on you in the first place. There is nothing unconstitutional about this. Biden is not directing any of this. And it is still funny, right? The whole thing about Biden's directing all of this. So on the one hand, we have Republicans like Biden's old and dementia riddled. He doesn't know where he is half the time. And then on the other side, he is a criminal mastermind who is basically gotten all of the justice system in the United States to come after Donald Trump. He is an evil genius who also can't tie his shoes. Really? Like, both of those things coexist in your brains at the same time. Okay? I mean, if that's the way you think, that's the way you think. I can't help you. I wouldn't help you if I could. Go ahead and continue to be crazy because that's what you are. But Trump can whine and cry about the gag order all he wants. The truth is that tomorrow he's going to have to face the music for it. And hopefully Judge Merchan does the right thing and doesn't just hit him with a fine, but says maybe a couple days in lockup will cool you down a little bit. We'll see. As we all know, Donald Trump is clearly having some financial problems. He's having financial problems with his campaign. He's having financial problems with his personal life and, of course, his businesses, facing a bit of a cash crunch at the moment. But don't worry, folks, because Donald Trump has a solution to most of those problems, and it's the same thing that he's been doing basically for the last 8 years now. Because even though Donald Trump cannot just take money directly out of his campaign coffers to pay for whatever the hell he wants, he is once again using that campaign money to pay his own failing businesses so that he can inadvertently put the money back in his pocket. And since the start of the year 2023, so last 16 months, he has spent nearly $5 million of his donors' money at his own properties. Now, 800 and some odd thousand of that comes from, or is money that was paid directly to the properties. The biggest sum of money, $4.1 million, was actually paid to a company called Tag Air, T-A-G, Air. And that's the company that runs Donald Trump's private airplane. So who owns Tag Air? Well, Donald Trump owns Tag Air, of course, you sillies. So he's paying his own company to fly his own plane to take him to events where he gets more money so that he can keep paying his company to run his plane so he can go to more places to get more money to pay his company to fly his plane. You see how it works, basically. But don't worry. This is all totally legal because campaign finance laws in this country don't exist. And when they do exist, they're pretty much never enforced. So Donald Trump is legally allowed to spend as much donor money as he wants at his own properties, provided he is only paying market price. He cannot jack up the prices to put more money in his own pocket. Oh, God, no, that would be illegal. But rather than saying, hey, I'm using this space at this property that I own, I don't have to pay for it. He's saying, well, I'm using this space, so I'm going to go ahead and make my campaign pay me for using the space that I already own. Like, that is what's mind-blowing here. Again, hundreds of thousands of dollars that he has spent at Mar-a-Lago. And some of that is for renting the space. Now, he owns Mar-a-Lago. He already owns that space. He shouldn't have to pay for it because that's your space. I mean, I don't have to rent out my living room from my family when I want to sit there and watch football in the fall. No, I own the space. I just get to use it. But whatever. This is how Donald Trump is keeping his businesses afloat. It's how he kept them afloat when he was president. And he's going to continue to do that because he's one of the few people in this country that actually likes to spend money at his own properties. Well, you know what? I take that back. There are some people who still like to spend money at Mar-a-Lago. They just happen to be other Republican candidates who like to hold events there and pay Donald Trump to stay on his good side. So he's not the only one doing it, but the other people doing it are, of course, Republican candidates who say, yeah, go ahead and take this money. What do I care? And this is what we're going to see more of. And if Donald Trump makes it back into the White House, we're going to see a hell of a lot more of it. Except at that point, just like it was 4 years ago, it'll be our tax dollars paying the bills instead of Donald Trump's idiot donors like they are today. Listening to today's Fair and Balanced Daily. Stay up to date with all of our content by finding us on YouTube at youtube.com/fairandbalanced and follow me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Fair and Balanced.